The problem with owning the company, if you do it wrong, which I did, is it owns you. And I did so much work where I worked 60 to 80 hour weeks, and that's not an exaggeration. I didn't really have a life. And I worked and worked and worked and worked and worked. I got so many awards, so many wonderful media accolades, and so many people saying, "Laura, wow, you're so important." Except there was nothing that was actually fortifying me, the human.
Alex Williams here to welcome you back to Broken Bulbs, the show for entrepreneurs, creators, and builders who need to keep it real. Today, I'm joined by Laura DiBenedetto. Now, Laura is the best-selling author of The 6 Habits, which I've linked down in the show notes. And as a coach, she teaches how to create the life of our dreams without sacrificing the things we love. She was also a 40 under 40 winner at the age of 23 and has been a serial entrepreneur since 19 years old. But she also sacrificed health and balance for what she saw as success at the time. That's coming up after the break. Real quick, before we get into today's show, I'd like to invite you to leave us a review and share this episode with a friend or family member who you think would get something out of it. We are really trying to push this show and get it out to as many listeners as possible to share the message of we all fail. We all make mistakes, and it's normal, and it's important to talk about it and learn from it. We want to see the show get to 10,000 downloads an episode before the end of the year. Let's see if we can do it. Thanks for your help, and enjoy the show. Laura DiBenedetto, ready to talk about one of your broken bulbs?
Yep, let's do it.
So we're going to talk about you putting money above health and overall happiness. Walk us through how you learned this lesson, because I feel like it's something we all kind of have to learn at some point.
I think so. So I began life like the way a lot of people do, watching movies and, you know, receiving lessons from well-meaning parents and teachers who prioritize money, achievement, and success. And I learned by absorption, and I prioritized money, achievement, and success. What I did not receive for a lesson was wellness, balance, health, independence, joy. And so I achieved a lot in my career. I started my company at 19 years old because I am deeply unemployable. I am difficult and I want to run the show. Turns out they didn't want me to do that at 19. So I was like, well, looks like I'm just going to create a company and then I can run the show. And turns out I'm a good employer, just a terrible employee. And that's fine. So the problem with owning the company, if you do it wrong, which I did, is it owns you. And I did so much work where I worked 60 to 80 hour weeks. And that's not an exaggeration. I didn't really have a life. And I worked and worked and worked and worked and worked. I got so many awards, so many wonderful media accolades, and so many people saying, "Laura, wow, you're so important." And my bank account was saying to me, "Wow, you're so successful." And all that is nice, except there was nothing that was actually fortifying me, the human. And I noticed that my health was starting to decline. My sleep was really suffering. I was depressed. I was agitated. I was extremely stressed and feeling anxiety. I was in the emergency room multiple times for what I perceived to be a heart attack. And this is the end. This is the big one, kids. And I'm only 32. And I'm really good at noticing problems. So I wasn't under the illusion that that's healthy or okay. So I remember sitting in the emergency room when my husband is in the waiting room freaking out, you know, something's wrong here. I'm too young for this crap. Why is this happening? What did I do? So I realized something's wrong. And I was like, okay, I think I really need to retire. So I did. And I did not retire as wealthy or as, you know, celebrated as I wanted to be, but I did retire early and young. And that's great, except here was the most interesting thing. I kind of knew that my body and my health was on fire. I really got the sharp end of that stick when I retired and I didn't have the awards, you know, to constantly pursue. I didn't have the pursuit of money. I didn't have all these things. I didn't even have the title or the responsibilities to keep me feeling important. All I had was me. And I had my history. And I realized how emotionally empty I was. I realized how physically sick I was. I had given myself anxiety trouble. I'd given myself psychological struggle, and I had given myself gut health, issues to where it was like really, really affecting me, and my heart was starting to suffer. So there I was sitting with myself and my feelings, having the major epiphany. Wow, I always chose the wrong things because all those are nice. But when you take those away, there's actually nothing left. That can't be everything. It's not. So the lesson was, those are nice to have, but they don't define our success. And I was not taught that lesson. I had to learn it for myself. You know, success, love it. Great. Highly recommend. Same thing with money and achievement. They're wonderful. But those should be the results of a life well lived, not a life poorly lived. Once I started changing my perspective, I noticed that my health was improving. I was working really, really hard to work on my health, place my well-being first, improve my relationships, most notably with myself. And you know something? I finally achieved the one thing that I never, ever achieved in all those years of running the company. I finally achieved happiness.
That must have been quite the shift for you to make. I mean, obviously you had this big moment where you're like, wait a second, like I am ruining myself. And then you had to make this shift. What are some of the things that you did in order to transition from caring about those awards and the money and the visible success from the outside into focusing on the successes inside, on your relationships with yourself and with the people you care about? How'd you make that transition?
The most powerful thing for a first step for any of us is always self-awareness. You have to fully understand the problem to be properly inspired by it. Inspiration is the step two of like, okay, I see the problem and I am inspired to solve it. So I began to do, honestly, a lot of research to figure out, well, what do happy people have in common? Because I had no idea. I just knew that I wasn't one of them. And my research was actually really revelatory. It was like, it was fascinating because I was studying human behavior and I continue to be fascinated by human behavior. And as a marketer, I'm always fascinated by human behavior. And it was like, it's not that we do things, it's why we do them. And I started studying patterns. Unhappy people, happy people. Well, what are the patterns that are consistent in unhappy people? Oh, look, I've got all those. And then on the patterns of really happy people, huh, I've visited those territories a few times. Could I do that? Yes. So number one, self-awareness. Number two, inspiration. And you get that from the self-awareness. And then when you figure out what your problem is and why you want to solve it, everyone's steps are going to vary. For me, it was working on my mental habits. That's what I talk about in my book because I changed my life so dramatically. I want to share it. So I am the original guinea pig. I changed my thought patterns. And that was really the most pivotal thing I could have ever done for myself. And if I could ever go back in time and give myself these gifts when I was a kid, my God, my life would have taken a totally different, much more healthy path.
So better to start young, you'd say.
Yeah. I think we should raise our children better. And and the thing is we raise our children, we mentor others, we serve other humans, tiny or old or whatever, just from what we know. And we do the best we can. But if we don't have the information and we don't have the tools, how can we possibly pass them on? We can't. You can't talk about what you don't know about. Like, it's not your fault that you don't know. But once you do know, and then you can actually adopt a lot of these behaviors for yourself and live that way and receive the benefit, then you're in a better position to teach someone else, the next generation. It's like once upon a time, people believed, certain fruits and vegetables. People used to believe that tomatoes were poisonous, right? And then you end up knowing that tomatoes are not poisonous. But everybody up until that point thought that tomatoes were poisonous.
They're delicious, in fact.
I concur. They're one of my favorite things. It's only once we know something that we can teach it. And it's the same thing as this. So we are, I think, where we are, you and I are adults, we kind of owe it to the next generation to fortify ourselves with this kind of knowledge. So then we can teach the next generation of even people that look up to us in their 20s and their teens, but also little kids. Teach them when they're young the good stuff. You know, high schools and grade schools, they're not teaching stuff like emotional well-being. They're not teaching stuff like balancing checkbooks. They're teaching us like old dusty history that's barely relevant to today, calculus and stuff like that, that's relevant to maybe 1% of the population. But instead, what would happen if we taught like self-awareness and emotional intelligence and how to effectively resolve a conflict? You know, how to actually love yourself and how to train your brain to think in the most optimal way.
And of course, at the end of every episode, I like to let you brag a little bit. You are passing on these lessons now through your book and the rest of your work. Would you like to tell us where we can find your book and where we can follow you for the rest of your work?
Sure. My book is called The Six Habits. And what I do is I fully unpack what the six mental habits are that we all have, just not nearly enough of, what we need to do to successfully construct the most beautiful life we could possibly imagine. So I went from falling apart at the seams, physically and emotionally, to going after my dreams and living in a joyful place all through these six things. I've done a TED talk about it. My book has been a bestseller, and it is a wonderful, wonderful tool to help people to live a great life. And it's a very surprisingly pragmatic guide to get where you want to go. It's available on Amazon. Again, The Six Habits. My name's Laura DiBenedetto. And if you look for my name or The Six Habits, you can also go to thesixhabits.com. Just make sure you spell out the word, the S-I-X habits, and you'll be able to check it out. But please read the book and give yourself the opportunity to receive the inspiration from your own self-awareness.
I love it. And I'm going to have links to all of that down in the show notes, as well as anywhere else people can get in touch with you. And I can vouch for the book myself. It's the way that it's structured, which I really love, is you can read through it once, and then someday if you're feeling like I'm struggling with intention today, you can go and open it up to that section, and there are helpful tips for you to check out there. So with that, I just want to say thank you very much for joining me.
Truly a pleasure. Thank you.
And thank you for listening. My favorite takeaway from this conversation is that a successful life should be a product of life well lived, rather than being achieved to the detriment of your health and well-being. And one of the most important things is to pass it on. Special thank you to Laura DiBenedetto for joining me and being willing to talk about her broken bulbs. Be sure to check out all of her work, including her book, The Six Habits, which I've linked down in the show notes. And if you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to leave us a review and share the show with a friend or family member who you think would get something out of it. Broken Bulbs is produced by Mecco Radio, and we are, of course, a proud member of the Create Fine. I, Alex Williams, was your host. The podcast artwork is by Bethany Gustafson, and the music we use is by Brian Claxton and Wesley Thomas. Oh, and thanks again for listening. Mecco.